this night's Vad, Tuesday night's Vad, is going to involve issues of Emuna. When I was a bachur about your age, I guess, I was in London at a friend's wedding. And for the Shabbos, Sheva Brachas, so we davened in a little shtibel called Sasev. And there was an old Hasidish Rebbe that was there. And he got up to speak by Shalosh Shudas, and he kept saying, Aleph Beis, Aleph Beis, Aleph Beis. And I, you know, turned to my friend who was from England, and I asked him, like, you know, is he okay? Like, why is he doing this? He says, just wait. So he said, and eventually, like, the Aleph Beis turned into Emuna Bitachin, Emuna Bitachin. And he says that Emuna Bitachin, and this is from a Holocaust survivor, Emuna Bitachin are the Aleph Beis of our life. The ABCs of our building blocks of Yadus, of what we believe in, involve understanding Emuna Bitachin, and that's what we're going to journey through this year. And it's a journey that we're going to take together, Mitzvah Hashem, and hopefully we'll all learn together, myself included, different facets of what Emuna is all about, what Bitachin is all about. It's no secret that Emuna Bitachin is a very big topic in our generation. A lot of very successful, best-selling books have been written about Emuna Bitachin. And that means that there's a thirst for it. It means that people really want to know about Emuna, and they want to strengthen their Emuna, or they want to be given reasons to believe. And one thing that I want to just caution about before we even begin is that sometimes guys come to me and they say that they have issues with Emuna. They're not sure, or they're not, or they know that they don't believe, and it's not an uncommon thing. It never was, and it never will be. It's a reality. People sometimes question faith, especially when things are difficult in our lives. You know, we start questioning things, and it is what it is. There's no it's not something for us to weigh or to judge. It's just a reality. But what we're going to be learning this year is very, very foundational, just to supplement, like give us vitamins every week for why we should believe and why we should have Bitachin Hashem. But it's also very important to stay away from certain materials in order that we don't undermine our Emunah and Bitachin. So I'm sure that we've all stumbled upon websites or blogs or whatever you want to call it, that, you know, where people that seem to be from, or maybe they once were from, and they speak about their questions, and sometimes we're tempted to read it, and it stays in our minds. And that's a very dangerous thing. So it doesn't make sense for us to be trying to work on strengthening our Emunah and Bitachin at the same time reading materials that sometimes are detrimental to that. That's not to say that, you know, well, shouldn't we be intellectually honest? Let's be intellectually honest with learning the positives about Emunah and Bitachin, and then letting it sit with ourselves and savoring it every week, seeing what Gedolei Yisrael write about Emunah and Bitachin, and then Mirtz Hashem will be strong enough to withstand a lot of the winds that blow. But let's not use our precious time and our mind to engage in reading materials in whatever form they are. It might be books, it might be websites, it might be whatever. But those are very, very, once you get certain questions in your mind, it's very hard to uproot them. And so what I meant by entitling this series Exploring Emuna is it's an exploration, but we have to explore it positively, and you're free to, you know, talk to me privately about any questions that you might have, and I hope that I'll be able to give you a good answer. But what we're doing here publicly is trying to really engage in actively fortifying ourselves with emunah that we really need to get through our life with. Every single day and every decision and every twist and turn in our life, we will be needing emunah and bitachon to get through it. And so we all know a little bit about emunah and a little bit about bitachon, but this year we're going to hopefully learn a lot about it. Okay, so without any further ado, I'd like to speak with you tonight about bitachon and Rosh Hashanah. Bitachon and Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is literally, you know, hours away. It snuck up on us this summer because, you know, it's already, we thought we were normally start this month. You have a whole Elul. Well, this year we have literally 5 days or something left. It's already, I think, the 23rd of Elul, and so we have about 6-7 days before Rosh Hashanah starts. And so we have to, maybe less, so we have to understand Rosh Hashanah and Bitachon together. So let's read a little bit. This is from a hesped that Rav Shach gave for the Brisker Rav. Rav Shach was, of course, the Rav Shiva Panovich. He was the Gadol Hadar when I was growing up, when I was in high school. Rav Shach was everything. Rav Shach was like, he was it. He was all the Litvisha yeshivas. All the Rosh Hashivas were Talmidim of his, and he was the first and last word for everything. When I was in Eretz Yisrael as a Bachar, I very much wanted to go to his shirim, and they happened to be learning in Panovich what we were learning in Kol Torah, that we were learning the Dharam that year. So I got permission from my Rebbe to go to Bnei Brak every Tuesday for Rav Shach Shir Klali. He gave a very famous Shir Klali, and so I was zeichet to hear his Shir Klali at many weeks. The first week that I went, I was so enamored by him that I came into the Shir Klali as like an American tourist. Like, it was all a room maybe double the size of this room, and Rav Shach, there was like a stage that he went on. He's very short, and in the front row of the Shir, like as a ches around him, were like the most brilliant Avreichim, the Kailul guys of Panovich, who, you know, know more than anyone that I know combined, each of them. And so they were sitting and waiting for him to say a Chiddush. And then everyone, the rest of the yeshiva was around them. And here I was, this American Bachar, and I came in with a tape recorder and with a camera, and they were like, "What are you doing here? Who are you? Where are you? Where'd you come from?" But I happen to have great pictures of Rav Shach from then, but the way he used to give shir was something that I'd never seen before. He, imagine a 92-year-old man, 94-year-old man, and he gets up there and he starts his shir very slowly and with a very, you know, soft tone, and then he starts getting stronger and building up, and then he says a chiddush. So in a regular shir, everyone, you know, is either writing it down or, and then you wait for the end and then you discuss it. Here, all of these lions in front of him start pouncing and screaming at him and asking him kashrut, and he's fending off this 90, you know, this, you know, he's fending them off. He's like, and the whole room is like talking about it and discussing his chiddush, and then like finally it settles down like 5 minutes later, and then he continues and he says the next step of shir, and he's building up another Rambam and another Ravid, and it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable to see. So Rav Shach was the Rav Shiva Panovich. He wrote a very famous set of Svarim on the Rambam called Avi Ezri. And he was a Talmud Muvok of the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav was in Yerushalayim. Rav Shach was in Bnei Brak. And he would constantly go to the Brisker Rav and he would learn from him. And they were very, very close. Some say that he was the biggest Talmud of the Brisker Rav. So when the Brisker Rav died, the Brisker Rav died on Erev Yom Kippur, and Rav Shach gave the following hesped for him, and he was recounting what happened that Rosh Hashanah. So maybe 9 days, maybe Erev Rosh Hashanah, maybe 9-10 days before Rav Shach was nifter, this is the hesped that Rav Shach said, describing what what transpired between him and the Bris Karov. So let's start from the second paragraph. B'yamav ha'achreinim shalmaren ha'griz zatzal. The last days of the Bris Karov's life, the Griz is another way of saying Reb Yitzchak Zev Halevi Soloveitchik, who was the Bris Karov. V'yamim me'achna ha'achana l'Rosh Hashanah. These were days of preparation for Rosh Hashanah, sort of exactly the days that we find ourselves in today. Nechnasti levakris. Rav Shach says, I went in to visit him, to mevakar chayli. He was very sick. Bevayi shaleni. When I came in, he asked me, ma yeh hasayif, what's my end? Like, what's going to be with me? Amarti lenachamai. So I said to console him, I tried to console him, b'divrei Yerushalmi, with the words of the Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah, that the Rosh brings at the end of Rosh Hashanah. And the Yerushalmi says, and this is a very, very important Yerushalmi, it's brought in the Mishnah Berurah, Kimi Gai Gadol, Reb Chananya, Reb Yeshua, Chadamar, Ezo Uma, Ko Uma Zeis, what other nation is like our nation? She'edas Ufya Shalika, that we know the facets and the persona, Kaviyachal, of their God. We understand Hashem. Benag sheba ilam, the minig ha'ilam is adam sheish le'din. A man has a din. Okay, if chas v'shalom you have to appear in court for a certain judgment, for a certain din. So what happens? Le've shchayrim, person wears black. Umiskasa shchayrim, and he covers himself with like a black turban. He's all depressed. He's not wearing nice white, cheerful type of clothing. He's wearing like very doom and gloom type of attire. Because he doesn't know what's going to be. I don't know if the judge is going to say I could live or I die. So I don't wear like positive clothing. I'm depressed. Avol Yisrael einai kein. Klal Yisrael says the Yerushalmi is not this way. Loivshem levanim. We wear white clothing. That's why we wear a kittel on Rosh Hashanah. Umisatim levanim, and we wrap ourselves in a white talus. Umegalchem zakenim, and we shave our beards. We trim our beards. V'chaitchin tziparneim, and we cut our nails. V'aichlin v'shoysim usmeichim Rosh Hashanah. And on Rosh Hashanah itself, we eat and we drink and we're happy. It's a happy day. It's a yantif. Why? It's a din. We know this is a din. So why are we so happy? Because we have bitachin and we have confidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to perform miracles with us, and he's going to push down the din, and he's going to rip up our gzar din. So even if we're supposed to be guilty, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tear up that verdict and he's going to make us all innocent. And that's why we wear white and we're positive and we're happy. We sing on Rosh Hashanah and we come in Rosh Hashanah with our nice shaves and our haircuts and our positivity, because we trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's going to turn out good for us. V'dibarti al libay. So I quoted this to Rav Shach, to the Bris Karov, says Rav Shach, and I tried to console him. Ki kach gam achshav b'matzava yitzarachu liyes batuach shakadosh baruch hu yasal einei. So I was trying to convey to the Bris Karov, in his state of depression, how he should be confident. Rosh Hashanah is a time of confidence. Don't be worried. Don't be depressed. But rather have confidence that the Rebbeinu Shalom will do miracles for you. Everything is going to be okay. Have some bitachin. Ulam, however, Maran Zatzal Ona, but the Bris Karov answered me, Bameh Bameh Liyais Batuach. It's all good, I understand what you're trying to say, but with what exactly should I be confident? Ube'er Maimer Yushalmi Anal Api Divrei HaPiyot Keser Malchus Reb Shlomi Ibn Gabiro. And he explained the Yerushalmi is in Kipshutai. The way you read the Yerushalmi before we're going to learn this Bris Karov is that basically it's like a vending machine. You know, you go to Rosh Hashanah, you put some, you know, you put your clothing in the machine, you put your confidence, and boom, you get out a wonderful new year. And you'd have to have bitach in the Rebbeinu Shlom. There's no, without any, no kunsen. Just, everything is fine. Everything's going to be great. He says, that's not the pshat in the Yerushalmi, says the Brisker Rav. There's a very famous poet, arguably the most famous poet in Jewish history. His name is Reb Shlomo Ibn Gabiro. You might know him from a very popular poem called Adayin Olam. He wrote the Adayin Olam. He wrote many, many things. A lot of the piyutim that we're saying these days during Slichas were written by him. There are books of his poetry. And so one of the things that he wrote, one of his masterpieces, was called Keser Malchus. And in that he writes the following words, and he writes beautifully. Nobody touches him in terms of his mastery at poetry. Elikai, my God, imavaini minisai gadol, if my sins are greater than I could bear, matas l'shimcha gadol, what would that do for your great name? V'imloi oichel rachamecha, and if I don't hope, put my hope in your mercy, miyachos alai chutz mimcha, who's going to have pity on me except for you? Lachain, im tiktaleni l'cha yachel, if you kill me, meaning if you decide that I deserve to die, I will have faith in you. V'im tivakesh la'avayni, and if you decide to call in my chips and to claim my averus, evrach mimcha eilecha. I love these three words. I will run away from you to you. I'm going to run away from you towards you. What does that mean? If I'm running away from somebody, I'm not running towards them. V'eskase b'chamoscha b'tzilchan, I will take shade in your from the sun, from your sun, in your own shadow. I'm running away from the hot sun, and I'm going into its own shadow. So Tzarech Lav Inshallah, the Brisker Rav asked, what does this mean? Ma'bir amil evrach mimchaylach, what does that mean? I run away from you to you. Halay l'chara b'reach mizulasam, if you're chasing me, or if I'm running from you, ena b'reachil, the last thing I'm going to do is run towards you. Ela b'reach mimenu, should have said, I'm running away from you. Why does it say I'm running from you towards you? And then he quotes a Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos Rosh Hashanah. These are all very great yisaidis. You have to remember these Maramakaimis tonight. Take the sheet with you and chazer it. The Rambam says, we don't say halal on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Technically, we should. If you look in the Gemara in Erchin on Daf Yud, it's one of those days that deserves halal. What are the conditions that need to be met to have halal? It has to be a mayid, has to be a yantif, it has to have special karbanas. And guess what? Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are both. They're Yom Tovim, and they have special karbanas. So why in the world are we not saying halal? And in fact, this was the question that was asked. Why is Klal Yisrael not saying halal on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, L'fi Shem Yimei, this is the Rambam's take on the Gemara, L'fi Shem Yimei Avayda V'Hachna, because these aren't days of happiness. These are days of Avayda, that you're supposed to serve Hashem. Hachna means you're supposed to humble yourself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pachad u'marim Hashem, you're supposed to have fear and dread of Hashem. V'yira mimenu, you have to fear Him. U'mivrach u'manais elov, and you have to run away and take shelter in Him. Mamish, the same exact idea that the Reb Shlomo Ibn Gabiril says. So again, what does this mean? What's going on? There's obviously something to this. So the Brisker Rav explains as follows. And this is why I wanted to bring it tonight, because it's a very important thing. Hine inyan habitachin shayach rak etzal misha margish hi matzai betzar gadayla. Bitachin does not mean that a person just like whistles past the graveyard, meaning you just like take life very easy and I'm chilled and I don't worry because I have bitachin. That's not really what bitachin is. Bitachin means Meaning, if I'm just relying on Kadosh Baruch Hu and doing, you know, crazy things, if I'm like driving my car drunk, Chas V'Shalom, or I'm driving 100 miles an hour, you know, down a one-way street in the wrong direction, but I have bitachon. That's not bitachon. That's stupidity. That's foolhardiness. That's not you can't call yourself a Baal Bitachon if you don't understand exactly what you're up against by what you're doing. Bitachon doesn't mean that. Bitachon means lazenis kavena paitim amr evrach mimcha elacha. This is what bitachon means, and this is what the poet means when he says that I run away from you towards you. Kiva matzav zesha adam koy chered me'emas hadin. When a person is in a condition, in a state of mind that he is so afraid of the din, and I'm looking for ways, I'm searching for ways to spare myself of the din. In order to have bitachon, when we're going into Rosh Hashanah, I think we're all like, before the Brisker I've explained it, I think that's, I'll speak for myself, okay? Like, I don't know how much I'm thinking about the din that's about to happen. There's a real din. It's a real court case that's happening. I know that if I would have to fight a moving violation and I have to prepare and hire lawyers, I'd probably be a little nervous. But for some reason, I haven't really broken a sweat, you know, even though we're less than a week away from Rosh Hashanah. Why? Either because I'm just out of sight, out of mind, I'm not thinking so much about it, or more probably that I don't really feel that anything bad is going to happen. I'm a Baal Bitachon. I believe, okay, Rosh Hashanah is going to happen. I had Rosh Hashanah last year, the year before, everything worked out okay, Bli Ayin Hara. So we're going to have another good year and everybody's happy. But that's not really the attitude, says the Brisker Rav. It has to be an attitude that you understand, you think about the din, you're afraid of the din, there is something happening, something is going to be happening, next week. There's going to be a din. I'm mivrach mimcha, I'm going to run away from the Rabbeinu Shem because I'm so scared, I'm frightened, I have to run away. But then I realize that there's no shelter other than in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't run anywhere, I could run, but I can't hide. So rather than, you know, running in this direction, I'd rather just run right back to the Rabbeinu Shalom and trust in him. But before you have that trust, bitachon doesn't mean I'm not thinking about life. Bitachon means I'm fully aware of what I'm up against, and now I'm putting my trust in you. I want to run away, I'm so scared, but I run towards you in confidence that you will take care of me, that you will embrace me. The only place that I could take shelter is by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shade. But if you have no idea, if you're not thinking at all about the impending din, and you're just serene, you're confident, but you're not scared to earn that trust. You're not running away and then finally saying, okay, I have to have bitachon. You're just like, okay, I'm a pashut yid, I'm going to make it. That's not what Rosh Hashanah is all about, says the Brisker Rav. You have to have bitachon, but bitachon means that first you have to have an awareness that there is a din. You have to taste the fear a little bit of the din. You have to think about it. If you're not thinking about it, if I'm not thinking about it, then it's not going to happen. So we have to understand there's a lot riding on this Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is not a day that's it's a beautiful day, and it should be a quasi-happy day. It's not a day of Simcha Yisera. It's a day of happiness, but not joy. It's not a Simchas Torah. It's not a Purim. It's not a Pesach. It's a day of subdued happiness. But it's a din. There is a din that's taking place. So we have to find that happy medium of being aware that it's a din, but at the same time saying, but I trust you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to take care of me. But I recognize the din. I understand that there's something happening here. And he says, that this is the pshat in the Yerushalmi, that on Rosh Hashanah we're happy with the understanding that a nes will take place, so we dress up and we have nice clothing on, we shave and we take a haircut, but that doesn't mean that we're just like avoiding what's really happening. We're recognizing what's happening, and then we say, but you're going to perform a nes for me. I understand that it's important what's happening. There is a din, but my father's the judge. And he loves me, and he's gonna embrace me, he's gonna take care of me. And so the Brisker Rav says that this is what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that I'm not properly, and this is the Brisker Rav, there was no greater Ovid Hashem in his generation than the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav was somebody that he spent, I don't know exactly how long, but maybe a half an hour, maybe longer, saying Kriya Shema, every single syllable, Shema, 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 every single word. And I know people that are briskas that do the same thing. Like they're very machped, every word of Kriya Shema, they repeat and say 50 times because they want to make sure that they get it right, that the mitzvah was done kedasu kedin. There was no greater Yare Shemaim than the Brisker Rav. All the Salavichiks always. The Beis Halevi once, I think he did a misasik on Shabbos. He mamish like maybe brushed against like the equivalent of us brushing against the wall and flicking a light switch on Shabbos. When we do that, do you even think about it a second later? You know, you go sometimes out of a bathroom, you don't even think in it, up and down, whatever. You say, okay, no, you know, the Beis Halevi, who was the Brisker Rav's grandfather, when he did that once, he fainted. He had such a pachad adin. And Reb Chaim, all the Salavichiks are like that. So he says, like, I don't know about myself if I'm holding by the level of fear that I have to have for this din that's about to come, that I should then be saimich and have bitachon on the Rabbeinu Shalom. So this is a very important introduction to Rosh Hashanah for us to understand, not to get scared and, you know, neurotic and have phobia. We're not looking to give anyone nightmares. But it's important to spend a little time as we're approaching Rosh Hashanah and understand what we're up against. It is a din. There are svarim written about ways of increasing your chances to be menatzeach in din. In the back of, anyone have a pathway to prayer? So in the back, there's like a kuntres of different, like 10 suggestions how to succeed in din. I once gave a four-part series of in yeshiva here during Elul, one day every week of the weeks of Elul, of how to win in din, it's called. I think it's online if you're interested. But different techniques, different tricks, as it were, how to win in din. Why is that so? Because there's a din. First, you have to understand there's a din. Now that there's a din, and we recognize there's a din, now we could figure out ways of winning. But first, the Aleph Beis is understanding that there is a din. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to put us through din. Klal Yisrael as a whole, every yachid, you know, we see what happened. If you ever want to see the power of Rosh Hashanah, look back at what happened last year and then understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed in last Rosh Hashanah. And all the people that suffered through COVID and all of the milchamas in the world and all the tragedies that we had, you know, whether it was in Meiron or whether it was in Surfside or whether it was in that kehila by the Hasidim in Givat Zev, all these things are all things that were paskin for whatever reason. We have no idea why, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that should be the din last Rosh Hashanah. It was all paskin on Rosh Hashanah. I think Reb Chaim Shmulevitz used to say when somebody, caught a flu. So, you know, let's say Hanukkah time, you're walking out, say you catch a flu. So people say, you know, when did you catch the flu? So Reb Chaim says, you didn't catch it because you walked outside. You caught it on Rosh Hashanah. Everything that happens took place on Rosh Hashanah. And so we have to understand the power of Rosh Hashanah, but then at the same time have bitachon. So it's like a balance beam. Like we have to, on one hand, understand that it's real, and then on the other hand, throw our entire trust in the Rabbeinu Shalom and that a nes will happen to us in Mirtz Hashem, and it will. But first we have to taste a little bit of the reality that there's a din. Now the reason why I wanted to discuss this with you tonight, and it's sort of like a good introduction, I think, to the whole series, this whole year, Mitzvah Hashem, of Emunah Bitachon, is because Emunah Bitachon is not a simple thing. It's not like, you know, a lot of people think, oh, I have Emunah. What'd you do to earn the Emunah? First, you have to understand the Ribbono Shel'Olam. First, you have to believe that there is a God. And then you have to believe that he's a Kol Yachal and that he could do anything that he wants. And after we have those principles laid out clearly, now we could start talking about believing in him, trusting in him. But we're going to Mirtz Hashem, you know, if otherwise we're just like, I'm an Emunah, I'm Pashur Yid, I believe. It's good to have Emunah Pshuta, but first you have to understand the step before the Emunah. You have to believe that there is a God. You have to understand his power, his might, his glory, how he could do anything, his omnipotence. And once we have all of that, and that's not a given for everybody either, but we're going to go through it in Mirtz Hashem, and then we could work on, now that I know that, now I'm going to trust in him. And we'll go through a lot of different things in Mirtz Hashem to, you know, actually train ourselves in Emunah and work on things. And maybe, you know, throughout the week, if things happen to you that you felt, you know, you saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yad in what you were doing, or perhaps you used like Emunah muscles that you didn't know you had in certain situations and it worked out for you, or maybe it didn't work out for you. Maybe we'll talk about that also. You can come to me and we'll discuss it and I'll bring it up. But in Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to go on a very, very valuable tour this year. And I'm excited and I'm looking forward to all of you coming along with me for this ride.